Prepare to be astonished!
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Hello, hello. Welcome back. We are so glad you joined us, and I'm very excited to have our guest here tonight, Kathy Jo Kirkpatrick. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I just wanted to bring some more joy into our...
More joy?
More joy into our podcast. And so, you know, I looked it up on my phone, and Kathy Jo just popped up.
Popped up. So
I love that.
I've known her for exactly about 90 seconds now.
You agree, don't you?
But I do agree already. I can tell.
I know.
You have that vibe about you. You're just putting joy out into the world.
I love that. It's my favorite word.
She's so many things, and we're going to get to all the things, but she's also my hygienist. But isn't this the kind of person that you want cleaning your teeth?
Oh my gosh.
Right?
You probably put like everybody at ease.
I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah. I have seriously been like, oh, you need to switch to like other people. I'm like, no. I have the person for you.
You know why you brought her here? Because last week we mentioned the guy that invented the dental drill.
Oh, we did.
Oh, how funny.
And our response was, but who invented the Novocaine?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
there. Good call.
Yeah.
You know what else brings joy?
What else? This day in history.
That too.
Oh.
Well, of course.
Of course.
But the Roaring Twenties casino night at the Heritage Museum for the Clatsop County Historical Society.
It's one of our favorites.
This year is on February 21st, the week after Valentine's Day and Dark Arts.
I love it.
We've always gone on Dark Arts, but we didn't have the guts to do on Valentine's Day because we weren't sure that casino night fundraiser at the Heritage Museum was an appropriate Valentine's Day date.
I mean, it could be debated.
Some people on the board thought so.
Yeah.
And argued.
Sure.
I will give a shout out. The doors open at 6. You can contact us for all the information, but the gaming is 6:30 to 9:30. We got Texas Hold'em Poker, Blackjack, Roulette, Craps, which I still don't understand.
You said you don't have to know any of it,
You don't have to know anything. We give you fake funny money to play with, and the dealers are professionals, so it's not Mac doing the dealing. And they'll explain how to do it. And at the end of the night, as long as you turn your funny money back in, everybody wins a prize practically.
Yay.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
No.
It is a lot of fun.
Get
you can wear
up.
Costumes if you
get
want.
Get dressed up.
Oh, that's
go to
the
that
best part.
Big,
there you
beautiful
go.
Bar upstairs.
There's contests for best costumes, so you can win something without even knowing it.
Love it.
So, okay. Right, and I do need to give a shout out to our wonderful sponsors because it wouldn't happen and the price wouldn't be so low. That we're so low we're not even going to mention it. But our presenting sponsor is Northwest Lending Group for like the fourth year in a row. Blair Henningsgaard, Bornstein Seafoods, the Stemper family, Eric Williams and Brett Estes, Kent and LJ Isom, Fultano's.
From the beginning.
From Astoria, from the very beginning.
Yep.
He has done it every year.
Yes. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah. And then he doesn't usually necessarily plant himself at the blackjack table that he sponsors.
Oh.
Some sponsors do. They like to sit by their
He
knee.
Does like Texas Hold'em, though.
He does.
I remember.
And he likes craps. Arbor Care, Tree Specialist, Old Town Framing, Norma Hernandez, and then the Samuel S. Johnson Foundation. So we appreciate all those sponsors. There are different table sponsors that make it happen. So it's on February 21st, a fun night. And one of the funnest things, you have to say the secret password when you get here.
I love it. Into like a little window, right?
We come in through the basement and you have to knock on the door 3 times and say, Joe sent me. Because you might be a revenuer.
Sure.
You might be a Fed. So we want to make sure that you're in the know.
Oh, that could be a costume too, though.
We have had that.
Costume idea. Okay.
Well, my favorite was one year where you had Steve Nerning, who was outside, and he was telling everybody that they were, he was pretending to be a preacher. And he was telling them that this was a house of sin and not to go in. And
I love that.
And then later in the evening, he had his collar loosened and he had lipstick all over himself and he was walking around.
Oh my gosh.
Like
sure. That's hilarious.
It was pretty funny. All right. Because we got so much to talk about. Let's get through the history highlights. These are things that happen tomorrow, February 2nd. As always, icebreakers, or maybe as you're sitting in the dental office in the lobby, you can talk to the other people and you can tell them some fun facts here. So these are things that happened on February 2nd, 1811. Russian settlers established Fort Ross trading post just north of San Francisco. 1811.
That's a good year.
That's before Astoria.
Yeah.
All right. 1852. The first British public men's toilet opens in Fleet Street, London.
The
public,
first?
Public bathroom.
And just for men.
Yes. Because women don't go to the bathroom.
No.
Come on, what are you talking about?
And it's so hard for men to go to the bathroom.
Yes.
Right.
This groundbreaking facility was I had to do a deeper dive.
Okay.
This groundbreaking facility was installed by George Jennings, a Brighton plumber, and was part of the Great Exhibition of 1851. The toilets were located next to the Society of Arts and were designed to provide a clean seat, a towel, a comb, and a shoe shine for a one penny fee.
That's gross.
I just hope they're not doing the shoe shine at the same time.
Ugh. All of this. Is
yeah,
like,
that really bothered me. Despite the initial excitement and the promise of a profit, the public toilets at Fleet Street did not become successful and were eventually abandoned due to their unpopularity and the awkward design of the lavatory and flushing technique.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that amazing?
Huh.
1887, the first Groundhog Day.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that poor groundhog.
I know, it's so silly.
Pulled out. Yeah. 1897, African-American inventor Alfred Crail patents the first ice cream scoop. Good for him.
Okay.
1897, while working as a porter at the Markell Brothers drugstore in Pittsburgh, Alfred Crail noticed his fellow employees struggling to scoop ice cream cones for customers. Crail decided to design a contraption, I love that he calls it that, a contraption to scoop ice cream easily with one hand. His invention, which he called the ice cream mold and disher, received a federal patent on February 22nd, 1897. According to his patent application, the disher will be extremely simple in its construction, strong, durable, effectual in its operation, and comparatively inexpensive to manufacture.
Okay. I like it.
Isn't that
the
amazing?
Big genius.
Back
I
then.
Know, right?
Yeah.
That you could put in a patent.
Yeah.
I just, I read something like that, and I hope this guy made a ton of money.
And you know that he probably didn't.
He probably didn't, and probably somebody stole it from him. 1913, Grand Central Terminal opens in New York City. We know you're not
cool.
a big fan of New York, but but I am. Have you ever been to Grand Central?
I have. Oh, my
Isn't
goodness.
It amazing?
It was incredible. I'm glad I was there with somebody who knew where they were going.
It is a little overwhelming. Yeah. 1925, with Nome, Alaska facing a widespread diphtheria outbreak, musher Gunnar Kaysen and his 13 dogs successfully deliver an antitoxin serum, part of a relay that covered 674 miles in 5.5 days in temperatures as low as 85 degrees below zero.
Huh.
1925, that seemed late to me. 1964, G.I. Joe debuts as a popular American toy.
Okay.
G.I. Joe, the Kung Fu.
I remember G.I. Joe's.
Yeah.
You guys remember the store?
G.I. Joe's the store?
There was a store. In Portland.
No.
Oh, yes. G.I. Joe's. Yes.
Yeah, it was kind of like
camo
maybe
and
like
stuff.
A Big Five.
Like a hunting store, outdoor store.
Sporting goods.
Sporting goods.
Okay.
Athletic.
Yeah. Right. I wonder if G.I. Joe sued him.
Oh.
The toy, whoever manufactured the toy. Okay, 1971, Idi Amin takes power in Uganda. Yeah, not very good.
Yeah.
But our history highlight of the day, 1848, the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo ends the Mexican-American War. Mexico loses 55% of its territory to the U.S., including, and this is why it's the history highlight
right.
of the day, including California, Nevada, and Utah in exchange for $15 million.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
So kind of changes history a little bit. Mm-hmm. California would have been part of Mexico still.
Wow.
Nevada, Utah, Las Vegas.
Oh, my gosh.
All that stuff. Hollywood would have all been
just
Mexico.
For $15 million.
$15 million.
But it was, I mean, at the end of a war, so.
Exactly. They didn't have much choice.
Right.
So, but did I miss anything?
No.
I didn't think so.
That's a pretty good one. No, because I brought the guest today. I brought Kathy Jo Kirkpatrick. She's going to keep us entertained. But we have to start from the beginning. So where are you from?
I am from Astoria, Oregon.
You are?
I didn't move far.
Okay.
Native. All right.
So tell us about your family. How did your family end up here? And then what kept you here?
Well, my mom grew up in Seattle. My dad grew up in Tacoma. And when my dad was younger, he loved going on vacation in Manzanita. And he was looking for property in Manzanita, but he found property in Lewis and Clark. So my parents got married in the 1970s and moved here. And I'm so grateful that I was born here and did not have to live in a city because I just, you know, the beauty that we get to live around, the water, it was Yeah, I'm so grateful that I was born here.
So Manzanita is very specific. What drew them to vacationing in Manzanita?
The water. My dad worked on bridges. So Tacoma, lots of bridges. So he was actually a bridge foreman for ODOT, and his job brought him here. So that's why he moved down to Astoria. And so he retired here as a bridge foreman for ODOT.
And so you went to schools here.
Mm-hmm.
So what school?
I went to Lewis and Clark and then Astoria High School. So back then, Lewis and Clark was K through 8.
Okay, right. And tell us a little bit about going to school at Lewis and Clark. Any of your favorite teachers still there by any chance?
Oh, no.
No.
All of my teachers are retired. And even in high school, all of my teachers are retired there now. But it's so fun getting to run into them. Yeah. And I still want to call them by their last names.
Yeah.
Or if I do see them as patients, it's really hard for me to call them by their first name. I still want to call them by their last name. So
I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So any favorite teachers or ones that really made an impact on you?
Oh, my gosh. I was impacted by a lot of my – I could think of something about all of my teachers that impacted me in some way. But I really loved the heart and kindness of Mrs. Patterson, Teresa Patterson. She was one of the most sweetest teachers. She was so kind. My speech teacher when I was in high school, Mr. Chapman, he probably was one of the teachers that dug into the gritty side of me when he would say something about my speech topic. And he's like, well, why would I want to hear about that? I'm going to let you know why you want to hear about my speech topic. And so it made me work harder. So those were the things that I admired in my teachers, were the statements and things that they would say that made me want to work harder and prove myself. I have a lot of great stories about all of my teachers.
And at that time, when you were growing up, did you know what direction you were thinking of going for career-wise?
I knew that I wanted to do something that had something to do with benefiting people's lives. And so I truly believe that God put me on this earth to make a difference. And so I was that kid in the school that whenever there was a new kid, I would go introduce myself and introduce them to other people. Or if there was somebody that looked sad or down, I'd do something funny or, try to cheer them up. Or same thing at home. At home, if somebody was down or there was tension or something at the dinner table, I would do whatever I could to make my sister laugh and blow milk out of her nose.
it's a very specific image.
Yeah, it is.
Self.
I just love to make people laugh and bring joy into their lives. And so, I was that person in the neighborhood that would make cookies and welcome them in the neighborhood. Or I just want to bring people together, but also make a difference. And so I wasn't really sure exactly what I wanted to do until when I was in high school, I took a health occupations class and got to observe, in the hospital and radiology and the ambulance, and realized I didn't want to have anything to do with certain parts of the body. And so I didn't want to pursue nursing. I didn't want to work nights. I didn't want to work weekends. I wanted to be able to create a solid income, though. That was something that I learned from my parents, was I never wanted to rely on anybody else for money. So I knew whatever I chose to do it, I needed to make a good income and still be able to support my family and not rely on somebody else for income either. I wanted to be responsible. And so I was going to go pursue being some sort of sports medicine, helping athletes was originally what I went to college for, and quickly realized I didn't want to do that many years of science classes. And University of Oregon was very expensive. And I was I was responsible for paying for all my education. I didn't have help from my family. And so I came home to Clatsop. I went to Clatsop Community College. I was the very first graduate from the medical assistant program at Clatsop Community College. So then I worked full-time as a medical assistant while I did my prerequisites for dental hygiene. So I was able to work, I was able to save, and go to school all at the same time.
And then you were reminded, too, why you didn't want to go into medicine, because you were an MA. You're like, oh, this is it.
Yeah, nope. It was great, stepping stone. I learned a lot about the medical field. I loved working with patients, but I wanted to find a specialty, and I fell in love with dentistry. I love as a dental hygienist, I get to meet people. I get to hear from them. I get to have conversations with them. I get to hear what their needs are. I can help put them at ease. And when we think about our mouth, you don't think about your whole health. And that is something because of my family history with my parents. My dad passed away when I was a junior in high school, and my mom had 5 autoimmune disorders. And so health, nutrition, you know, disease prevention has been a big part of my life and something else I wanted to pursue and was passionate about since I was in high school. And so I wanted to do something medical wise, but towards a specialty. And so with dental hygiene, I get to educate people how to not just take care of their health, but to take care of their body, reducing inflammation in their mouth and in their body, and just to feel better and actually see people's oral health improve from your education.
Yeah.
There's so many things, so many benefits that I get from one of those jobs. Those are just one of the jobs that I do.
I know. So that's a great segue, because some of the other hats that you wear still have to do with that whole body health. Mm-hmm. So tell me how you stepped into those other roles with Soul Sisters and as a health coach with Arbonne. Tell us how those began.
Yeah, well, actually, I was cleaning my friend's teeth and we started talking about chocolate protein powder, or just protein powder in general. And I had been getting one that was kind of messing with my digestion, and she had offered up a sample for me. And then she shared with me what Arbonne had to offer, and the quality and the integrity and the flavor. Oh my gosh, it was the best tasting protein I've ever tasted. And so she introduced to me this company that I'd never heard of, and they were a legacy company. They'd been around for a very long time. They ban over 2,000 ingredients, a very strict ingredient policy. And I saw this as an avenue for me to share health and wellness with people beyond my dental chair. That same month that I was introduced to Arbonne, I truly believe in God's timing, and people bring things into your life for a reason, at a specific time. And it was the same month that I found out my mom was diagnosed with lung cancer.
Oh, gosh.
And so I quickly saw this as an opportunity for, again, to have another avenue to share health and wellness beyond my dental chair, but to have an income opportunity so that I never missed my mom's doctor's appointments. And I didn't. I jumped in, and it has been the biggest blessing for my family. I was there for her. I was able to leave dental hygiene completely and be my mom's full-time caregiver the last year of her life. And so the company and the products are amazing, but the income opportunity gave me so much.
Yeah. And it's really become a part of who you are. I mean, this joy and this health, you want to share with others. So it started then. And one of the new opportunities you were talking about was Soul Sisters. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, so last year, I saw a friend of mine who we have signed up. We've met through like 5Ks, 10Ks, and through Arbonne. She was actually a client of mine, and I saw her post about Soul Sisters. I'm like, what's that? And so Jesse Lee, one of the founders of Soul Sisters, it's a 19-year-old program that was or group that of women that were started in Wilsonville about 19 years ago. And it's a women's only walking running group. And so there's actually 19. I think we just added another location, Aurora. So there's 20 locations where we meet up on Saturday mornings. We have a specific training schedule to help bring women together, encourage movement and community and connection. And we train for 5K, 10K, or half marathon. And we start our training in February. And then the main event is the end of May in Wilsonville. And then there's some satellite locations for the different. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is my jam. I want to bring people together. I want to encourage movement. I want to encourage longevity. I want to encourage people to reduce inflammation in their body. You know, we are what we absorb. We are our community, our connection, it all leads into our overall health and wellness. And so I'm like, this is totally my jam. So, yeah. So this is my second year being a Soul Sisters coach. And so I'm inviting, you know, any of our listeners, if you're a woman, we will be having a a meetup at the North Coast Running Store on February 24th from 5:30 to 7:30. Come check it out. Come see what Soul Sisters is all about. One of our founders, Jessie, is coming from Wilsonville. Yes, come. Is coming from Wilsonville. And so we're going to have some giveaways and some refreshments. So it'll just be really, really a nice little meetup.
And what if somebody's never run before?
I'm not a runner. Yeah. So, I don't run. So. I walk, and it's for any pace. So we will be meeting up. So if you come to the meeting, or if you want to reach out to me and learn more about what Soul Sisters is, our meetup location. We meet Saturday mornings. We do 10 minutes of stretching, and then we start right at 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings. And so you get to choose your pace. You can walk. You can run. This will be stroller friendly. You know, it's all about bringing women together and inspiring, encouraging movement. And you go at your own pace. So
so while it's a group, you don't have to stay as a group.
Exactly.
The group is that first 10 minutes and then you're on the same path or same. You do a lot of hiking trails too.
We did last season. Okay. We did do hiking trails. So this year we will be meeting at a location in Astoria.
Oh, nice.
Yep. So it'll be definitely stroller friendly, Perfect. You know, good parking. We'll be meeting up. And so people can decide, you know, if they want to do a mile, if they want to do more. And those of us that wear weighted vests, we can go hit the hills. And then I do have some women in the pipeline to be our running coach. So we will have. So if anybody's interested in the running aspect, we definitely are looking for a running coach.
Okay.
So before people forget or we forget till the end of the show, how would somebody find more information about this or find you or sign up or how what's the contact?
So you can find me. You can send me a friend request on Facebook, Kathy Jo Kirkpatrick, or I do have a private Facebook group, Astoria Soul Sisters on Facebook, or yeah, those would probably be the best two ways to message me or contact me about it.
Perfect.
So you're also involved, before we went on the air, I heard a long list. I think I know, Alana
so
had to
many.
Use two sides of the piece of paper, some other organizations. So
where do you want to start?
Yeah, give a few shout-outs to some of those and why you got involved in them.
I believe I will be going into my ninth year of being on the board with United Way. I did step off the board last year, but still am very, very much involved with fundraising efforts for United Way. I've helped with organizing Iron Chef Goes Coastal. We currently have the Chowder Crawl that I help organize with two other ladies. And we actually, last year we raised about $3,300 last year for the Chowder Crawl. This year we raised over $7,000 in Chowder Crawl ticket sales. And so thank you everyone who participated in the Chowder Crawl and to our restaurants that participated. I'm just so grateful. It's just so cool how our community comes together. So
that's amazing.
Fundraising efforts there definitely help with United Way.
I think it had to do with the column challenge of walking up 20 times. And then people were like, oh,
I got to go get some chowder.
Yeah. Right? I just walked up to the top of the column. I deserve some chowder.
There you go. Yeah. Well, the Chowder Crawl is very near and dear to my heart because we started it 4 years ago. And 4 years ago in January, my mom passed away. And so we started this fundraiser. And so every cup of chowder that I have, I'm lactose intolerant, but I do this for my mom. Okay. But everyone I have, it's like I think of her. What would she think of it? I remember our memories that we had when my mom was going through treatments. She was also on dialysis. She really didn't have an appetite. And so when she did have an appetite, we would I would want, what high calorie food would you eat? And it was chowder. And so she kind of became a chowder connoisseur. And so getting to do this fundraiser, in the month that she passed away, it's kind of just a way to honor her and contribute to our community. I mean, we're raising money for 12 local nonprofits. It's just, it's a win-win.
Pretty nice.
So it fills my cup and fills my soul.
Yes. Oh,
that is a great line. Oh my gosh. I love that. That's a great sentiment too. So I'm not going to ask which one, but is your mom's favorite chowder on the list of restaurants?
There's so many that are participating that weren't even a thing when she was alive that she never got to try. Okay. And so I do. There are definitely some restaurants where I'm like, oh, my gosh, I think this would have been her favorite. And we have some really great contenders this year with 7 new participating restaurants this year. And Yeah, there's a lot of top contenders this year.
So in your free time, you also are a regatta board member.
Yes.
You were previously a mentor. So tell us what that entails.
I've been a such a fun experience getting to see future leader, like high school women that are our future leaders, and getting to see how they, all the things that they're involved in, and then they're contributing. I mean, when you're a regatta court princess, you have a very, you're asked to do a lot of things and attend a lot of things and give a lot of speeches. So there's a lot of growth. It's really cool getting to be a regatta court mentor for the last 4 years. And then this is my first year being on the board. And it's just so cool seeing, getting to be a part of Astoria's history and women leadership. It's just another thing to see all the people that you get to collaborate. And just, I just am so, so grateful for it.
So besides being that personal mentor to an amazing young woman and probably having an impact on the rest of their lives that they'll keep coming back to you, what's your favorite part of regatta outside of that part?
The parades and seeing everybody, how happy they are, and seeing the princesses like up bouncing and dancing around on the boat, and just seeing how happy and smiling people are, and just listening to music. It just makes your heart feel so good.
I love it.
Do you work with them on the proper wave?
No, they got that down.
They've got it.
Yeah.
So aside from all this, what is your favorite thing to do on the weekends?
Hike. I love being outside. I love seeing water. I love nature. I love doing hiking. Like, that is one of my most favorite things to do.
Favorite hiking trail?
Oh, you beat me to it. She knew that's what I was going to ask.
Well, I have so many memories out at Fort Clatsop. Ever since my son was 5 weeks old in this little baby carrier, we were on steep trail before the trail was even cut all the way. So that's a whole nother story. But so we've been going out there since my son, who's almost 15. So wild to me. I have so many memories during COVID. That's where it was therapy for us. It's like those days that were so stressful, get in the car, we're hitting a trail. So trails are therapy for me, but that one just holds so many memories for me. I have lots of favorites.
So do you see yourself retiring here, staying here forever? What is what's the end game for you?
This is always going to be home, but I love to see the world. Like, I want to travel as much as I can, whenever I can, as often as I can. I want to see a picture of somewhere and be like, sweet, I'm booking my flight and I'm going there. So I am a world traveler. I want to travel and see the world as much as I can, but this will always be my home.
And what are your bucket list destinations?
The Mediterranean. I am going to go on a cruise and then do like micro trips after that. I'll be going to Dominican Republic in October, an all expense paid trip I've earned for my company. This will be my fifth trip that I've earned. But oh my gosh, my list is long, but the Mediterranean and then Australia. I'm going to go to the Mediterranean in the next 2 years and then Australia when Riker graduates from high school. Those are our two biggest trips that I know for sure.
Well, pretty exciting. Nice. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for bringing a little bit of your joy. Just a little bit. This is just like partial Kathy Jo Kirkpatrick joy into our life today, because you are spreading so much into our community. And for that, I am very grateful and very thankful.
Oh,
thank
my
you
gosh,
so much.
Thank you so much. That means the world to me.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. Go make some history, and we'll catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for an adventure in history. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.